am here to run a police department, not a frat house.
Unfortunately, she's been diagnosed with a brain tumor.
That's not a U.S. president. Okay. That's just the prime minister of Russia defending the president of Russia.
What do you want me to lock everybody up? What is that going to solve?
I am a very ethical person.
I have many Filipino friends. Our children grew up.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
No, you silly little flim bitch, you got a problem.
Mr. Cogsworth, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Thank you, I would dignify you by peeing on your leg. I don't, it wouldn't be worth wasting the urine, but...
Broadcasting from the city of homes and beaches, Steve Tavares is angry.
Welcome back to the Steve Tavares is Angry podcast. I'm Steve Tavares. It's been a long time. A lot of things have happened in the last 3 months, hasn't it? EBCitizen.com is merged with the East Bay Express. I hang out there, do a little biz. Riding a lime scooter around Oakland. Let's be real, everybody. I'm not weighing in on whether that should be legal, but in terms of fun, that should be legal. It's a goddamn fun lime scooter. Too good to be true. Too good to be true. I just love it. It's so much fun. So that's my thing. That's what I've been doing. I've been shedding some pounds. Lost my moobs. Been at the gym. What else have I been doing? Not making any money. It's okay. I still got my Hollywood good looks. Stuff like that. Speaking of Hollywood, it's been a rough couple weeks for our boy East Bay Congressman Eric Swalwell. Mr. President. I wrote about 4,000 word piece on who he is, a little bit of the history of who he is, because we forget, and I was the only one that's been around and the only one who was not subsequently employed by Eric Swalwell because of their fawning coverage of him. But looks like he was going to run for president. I think he still is going to, but boy, that Mueller report really, really hit him between the eyes. No collusion. No collusion. Guess what? Eric has to be thinking, this goddamn Trump lies about everything. He is literally the biggest liar anyone has ever seen in any walk of life. Yet, the only time the dude's telling the truth had to do with collusion, and it's the thing that Eric's been talking about for more than 2 years. No collusion. Turns out Trump wasn't lying on that one. So, where does Eric stand here? There was also another development, the rise of this mayor from South Bend, Indiana, that nobody knows how to say his name. And I'm going to go with Pete Buttigieg. There was a guy on MSNBC who called him Booty Juice. I don't think it's that. I'm going to go with Buttigieg, which is, some of us, men and women, could say that's what they've, accused of doing. But this guy seems to be taking the space where Eric should be at right now. The young, centrist, Midwesterner. Isn't that what Eric is trying to be when he says he's an Iowan with, 5 years? I technically grew up in Hayward on Locust Street. But, I was like pooping my pants and diapers. And then we moved to Castor Valley when I was like not even three. So I wouldn't go around if I moved to Hayward and wanted to be the mayor. I wouldn't say I was Hayward boy. That would be a lie. Yet he goes around. He says he was 5 years old when he moved to California from Iowa. And he definitely was born there. But I remember hearing it was a different number than five. Maybe more like three, years ago. But whatever. So he's going to play that card. But now what? No collusion. He is now the laughingstock of the right. And he already kind of was when he went over and attacked, gun owners. He's that famous tweet. And if you don't know about it, it's because you don't have a gun. But I guarantee you, if you had a gun, you know about this congressman in California says he's going to nuke gun owners if they don't give up their weapons. Now, it's just in jest, he said. But they remember it. So, obviously, knowing Eric as well as we know him, that he did that on purpose, and the rationale easily is, people see me as the defender, their voice of all their anger against Trump. That's why they like him. That's like when he's on Bill Maher Real Time on HBO, and when they announced him, the crowd went nuts because that's what he is. They see him on TV every single day, literally, maybe twice a day. And he's talking trash against Trump. All your anger is now coming back at you from the TV from Eric Swalwell. So they hate Trump, therefore they love Eric Swalwell. But it has nothing to do with politics. Because you could be a progressive in anywhere else in the country, and you're thinking, that's my guy, I'm a progressive, and that's the guy. He hates Trump. I hate Trump, too. So he's doing the calculation where all those people who are saying that about Trump that I am now speaking at, they also hate, you know, the redneck gun owners, the NRA. So it's easy to bait the guy, and I think he baited the guy on purpose. He found the perfect guy. He stalked gun owners on Twitter, and he found the perfect guy, and he throws down the nuke thing. And now everybody with a gun, I guarantee you, knows that, you know, and they'll probably call him the worst names possible. Swalwell guy. I imagine swallowing something like that, something awful, right? So he goes with that. So he already's got those group right there, which is interesting because Eric Swalwell is supposed to be a centrist. He works on the other side of the aisle. He's not like Trump. We don't need a guy who's divisive like Trump. So yeah, there is your one example of that's not true. This guy is totally using the Trump playbook. And at a very, very low level, what he is about is famous. He is fame. Just like Trump. He has done nothing less like Trump. But he's famous. So you know him. He could ride that. Just like, so there's a little rhyme or reason here. And it goes against this person who's going to unite the country. Doesn't seem like that is really his intent. So now we get the no collusion. Now he looks like the boy who cried collusion. Now, granted, we haven't seen the whole report, and you know, we have a good idea that there's probably going to be things in there that are really definitely need to be investigated, and we can continue this this story within Congress. This story will continue, and he could say, and so he's not out of the woods. No collusion seems to be off the table. And that was one of the things that he was saying. He called a Russian agent. If you listen to this podcast, 26 episodes have Eric Swalwell at the beginning saying the president is in collusion with Putin. That's one of the clips at the beginning of this podcast. So that one is set in stone. But what's happening now is that the right wing has cued in on Swalwell and Adam Schiff. And a couple others. That's set in stone. I don't know how they can get away with that, even if there is, really bad stuff and Trump could get impeached or they can continue their talking head stuff on MSNBC. This still sticks. You have half the country making fun of Eric Swalwell, and among that half, you got half of those people who also think he's going to take his guns away and nuke them. Not just take your guns, but we're going to nuke you, man. And we have a lot of nukes, he tweeted. Oh, just kidding. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave him now? And why has he been waiting so long is something that many people are talking about in the East Bay. Why is he wait? Why isn't he getting into the race? He's been talking like it. He's doing everything like he is running. Why is he waiting? There is a line of thinking in certain places in the East Bay that think he's got there's dirt on him, and he's trying, he's tamping that down. I don't know. non-disclosure agreements or something. They think that's what he's getting his house in order. I mean, that could be one thing. I mean, plausibly, maybe you don't. It's not a good idea to get in early because Kamala Harris got in early. And everybody said she had such a great opening. I didn't think it was that great of an opening. And all of a sudden now she's kind of disappeared. And now you're hearing whispers that, you know, hey, yeah, that thing about she's a little bit too close to the cops. And, you know, there's other stuff on her record as a, you know, a district attorney and attorney general. So maybe it's not good to get in. But on the flip side, this Pete Buttigieg, he gets in. And this is probably what this is what I thought how it would work for Eric, that he would surprise a lot of people. I still kind of think that at the end of the day, Eric Swalwell will have done better than Kamala Harris. I really do. I think people are going to, you know, underestimate Eric, and he will do well, not anywhere close to be, you know, what he wants or what he thinks he could get. But he will do like a Pete Buttigieg. Now look at this guy. He gives a couple speeches. He goes and speaks to me saying, hey, I don't agree with Chick-fil-A, but I love the chicken. That's exactly, oh my God. Everybody knows I love Chick-fil-A. I set up meetings in Fremont purposely. I'm just serious. I'm being not joking. So I can go out of Chick-fil-A. That's what I do. I love Chick-fil-A. I got a $10 gift card in my pocket right now. I used it the other 10 the other day. So he's speaking to me, man. I love Chick-fil-A. Don't like the politics. And I don't like out of that politics. And they should be open on Sunday, man. I could have went a couple more times. Sunday, man. Jesus didn't say anything about rest for people making delicious chicken sandwiches. Anyway, this guy gives a couple speeches. He comes to San Francisco. They're going nuts here at the Commonwealth Club. You see he's rising in the polls. That's where Eric should be. Eric should be there. That dude's from Indiana. He's supposedly from Iowa. He's supposed to be kind of a centrist. He's young. He's hip with what's going on with, you know, younger people. This should be Eric's wheelhouse. Yet this guy's taking it. Again, we'll have to see. Maybe it's, again, wise to just wait it out and get in later. But also, he needs to be in there and get, you know, enough donations, individual donations, so he can get in these actual debates that are coming in the summer. I mean, that's where Eric needs to be. That's where I think he will shine. Because think about it. Even this guy from Washington, the governor, Jay Inslee, he's talking some good game. Really good stuff on the environment. He's just going to run environment. Like, sounds really good in general. It's like, hey, what this guy's saying, if we don't do it, we're all going to die anyway. But, you know, it's not really, that's not the laws of gravity in politics, but, you know. But this dude's boring. Jay Inslee's boring. There's other people who are straight up boring. Eric's not boring. So if you get a bunch of people with Eric on with podiums in a debate, I guarantee you Eric's going to put in some zingers, and they're still going to say what's up with his face, but still. Like, what's up, man? This guy got chiclet teeth. You know, but still, they're going to say, I like what this guy's saying. I like his exuberance. And that's where he needs to get. If he waits too long, I don't know. What's interesting is you would say, this guy's going to run for president. He must be, as the kids say, hella. Or maybe the kids not now, but years ago said, hella popular in his district. No. No. If the Central Committee, Democratic Party, Central Committee in Alameda County voted for endorsements for presidential primary, which they don't, but if they did, I guarantee you he would not win that endorsement. There would be a no endorsement, and he would be probably like third. There'd be way more people who would vote for Bernie Sanders and Kamala Harris in the establishment Alameda County Central Committee for presidential endorsement than Eric Swalwell. I guarantee you that. So he's not, and that just underscores, he's not a regional guy. This is not, he's just technically you know, CA-15, representative of the 15th district. That's how he got into the club. But he is definitely a candidate of, you know, America and people, more specifically, smaller slice, that watch too much goddamn cable news. And that stuff will rot your brain, you know. But we'll have to see. We're waiting. He's got to do it soon. Next week, the week after, within the next 2 or 3 weeks. Or else you got to start wondering, what's he up to? And in the meantime, the 15th district needs to know what's going to do, because he says if he runs, he's going to give up his seat. So people need to know, do they put their time and energy into running for that seat? Because it's March 2020 is the primary, and they need to start now. They need to start right now. And some, I think, are already undercover. But if you got Swalwell telling the San Jose Mercury News that something that's I've been hearing out there that he might think about, you know, he, if it doesn't work out, drops out in time to, you know, he can still go for his reelection in the 15th district. Then, you know, what are you telling people? I don't believe that. But you're also, people are going to have to hedge their bets. Do they really try for that race? Does a Rob Bonta, which just seems to be a little bit insulting to somebody in the 15th district, that we don't have anybody that can represent us in Congress. We got to go to Oakland. The Alameda guy needs to come in carpet bag. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out, but he needs to think, does he put his eggs in those baskets? There's other people also need to think. So there's a lot of stuff going on here, and it needs to be decided like ASAP. And I think that's what's going to happen. And so I'm sure in a couple podcasts from now, we will look at everything when everything's said and done, when the decisions are made, and what we're going to have next. It's going to be a fun year. Next up, the great Casey Farmer is going to talk about the U.S. Census. That's another big thing for our county and for the 15th district, because if we don't count these people correctly, we could lose that seat. She's coming up next. This is the Steve Tavares is Angry podcast on ebcitizen.com. Welcome back to the program. I'm with Casey Farmer, who's the executive director of the Alameda County Complete Count Committee, and that's really about the U.S. Census. So welcome, Casey. We've known each other for a while from your other jobs, and this is a big job. This is if it's done incorrectly or not as accurate, the census could mean millions, tens of millions, right? Billions. Or am I going hundreds?
Billions.
And for Alameda County.
That's right.
A lot of money if this doesn't go right. So tell us what your committee is doing first off, and then we'll get into the important census news. This is big. I want to say it again.
Monumental.
This is big.
Monumental.
Monumental.
Only happens every 10 years. It's called a decennial census. It is the largest operation of the federal government, and you know, hundreds of thousands of people will be employed to work for the Census Bureau, and it requires participation of every household. That's by the Constitution. And so what is the actual census? It's a standard questionnaire. It's about 9 questions. It should take every household 15 to 20 minutes, depending on the number of residents in that household. It will come in many forms. They will be initially inviting you to participate online. So it's the first digital census where every household will get a letter with a 16-digit PIN number or a QR code, because it'll be mobile friendly, encouraging you to take it online. If you do not respond, they'll send you a paper form.
Right.
And if you also want to participate over the phone, you don't have a computer, you don't prefer that option, you can call in and take the census by phone.
So the problem becomes when you don't,
yes,
you don't respond, and then you need like this, just all the sense of soldiers need to go out, and that will.
That's right. I was describing the self-response period, and that'll right. start next March, right after our California right. primary election. Right. So this is mid-March through about end of April is the self-response time where we want all of our 1.7 million residents in Alameda County participating. Then it moves into the non-response follow-up time period where the enumerators are going door to door seeking that information. And if I can back up, I think the what is the census, why it's so monumental is because billions of dollars are on the line. It's how the federal government distributes between $700 and $800 billion for federal programs that we all see in our daily lives. That's education, it's transportation, housing, social services, and a plethora of important programs. And also our transit agencies and others use it when they're going after grants to get additional dollars. They use ridership and population data from the census. So really countless impacts. Right. Should we have an undercount, which is when we do not count enough of our residents. And if you look at it by the person, it's $1,958 per person lost if you are not counted. And that's just 1 year. So over the course of a decade, you're losing your community about $20,000 if you do not participate.
Right. So, you know, a lot of people, when we talk about the census, are hearing, you know, stuff from the Trump administration talking about the citizenship question and, you know, this is a very, very diverse county. So I'm sure that's, it may not be in the purview of your, what your committee, but that, when we're talking about census, that's a big thing, in, especially in terms of if you have a, you know, if we have, you know, a large Latino population in Hayward, if they are worried that whether there is a citizenship question or not, they're still going to be worried, skeptical, nervous about, you know, filling out this or speaking to somebody at their door about this census.
Sure.
That's a lot of money. Absolutely. That's the problem is what we.
The immigrant community is one of our hard to count populations. And in our county, we have about 26% or 413,000 residents who are in one of those categories. Additional ones being renters, children, those experiencing homelessness, seniors, people with disabilities. But specifically for our immigrant communities, we know that from polling, from focus groups, and from even the GAO's office, that they're expecting reduced participation because of the proposed citizenship question, which really currently stands in the hands of the Supreme Court. And they'll hear that case, which is appeals from two circuit courts in New York and California, in which the judges ruled against the inclusion of the citizenship question on the basis that it's constitutionally required, and thus, if you are including a question that deters participation, you will not count everyone in our country. So for non-citizens, we are encouraging them to access legal resources that can provide them more information. You know, questions have come up such as, can I skip the citizenship question and answer the rest of the form, and will my census be counted as complete? And, you know, nonprofits should be cautious because they have a 501c3 status with the country. And in order to maintain that, they should be cautious of what they're saying to their population because the Constitution requires participation in the census.
Yeah, you know, there's obviously, if there's a undercount, you know, inaccurate count, the county would lose a lot of money, but also lose representation. Yeah. And there's some people who think, if there that California could lose a seat, maybe two, and there further there is some people who believe Alameda County is going to be the place where that seat's going to go. Maybe the 15th district could be merged with, you know, out of, you know, with another county. That's big too. I mean, we have three very powerful Congress members, and you know, it's another thing to be thinking about.
Yep. Huge consequences politically. In addition to the billions of dollars on the line, if our county is undercount by 3%, you know, and the polling showing that there's a lot more fear than just 3% of our county, but 3% undercount would equate to $1 billion over a decade for Alameda County. And yes, there is a prediction that should California statewide have a significant undercount, we could lose a seat in Congress. And that is huge. Just the ramifications would be massive. The redistricting, that would be a nightmare. So really concerning.
Yeah. It is real. there are, you know, I don't want to get off topic, but there is a certain congressman in the East Bay who some people question, maybe he wants to run for president because he knows that seat could go away in the next, you know, it wouldn't be this next time, but 2022. So it is, so just underscore, the money and, you know, representation for the state is definitely on the line. Another thing, you know, I was thinking about this earlier, like, you know, in the old days, and I'm 44, so let's say like late 80s and the 90s. Well, I just remember the 90s. Even in the 90s, like 90, it was kind of already becoming kind of strange when somebody would come to your door for anything, right? It wasn't like the 50s or 60s when somebody would come and sell you some saws or some paintbrushes, and it was a normal thing. And it was kind of somewhat off-putting. Nowadays, like, people don't even talk to anybody if they're right next to them, let alone somebody coming to the door. Is there going to be a worry that when you get to that point where you have people out there, you know, canvassing, or the, yeah, there's another phrase for it. What was the phrase you used?
Enumerators.
Yes, enumerators, that they're going to have further problems because people just don't answer the door, and they just assume, even if you had a pie in your hand, that you've got something nefarious on your mind. You're trying to steal my TV. You know, so is this something that's further down the line? This is still a year ago when you get to that point, but
yes,
it's a different world.
I can't speak to what people are going to do, but I recognize that people do have that concern, and that's why we're encouraging Alameda County residents to participate through self-response, where they have the, you know, the three opportunities online, by phone, or by paper to complete the form. We also want to make it even more accessible to the community. We want community organizations, houses of worship, et cetera, to hold workshops where they can walk people through the form itself. And the Census Bureau will be creating video guides and language glossaries in about 59 languages. So the census will be available in 12 non-English languages, and then 59 video guides to support them. In our county, we've identified dozens of languages that are not on that list. So we're going to need to augment that, provide translation for, you know, the Tibetan community, for Tongan, Samoan, et cetera. And we want workshops and safe places where people can ask their questions. They can recognize the importance of the census and have some community building at the same time.
You know, in year and decades past, I don't remember the county ever really getting this, you know, involved in, because this is a federal, you know, thing. Can you tell us,
sure,
you know, where, how did this year, is it just because Trump has really made this a, you know, the citizenship question is, you know, like as we said, there's a lot of money and a lot of people going to be still fearful, even if that question isn't there. Can you just bring us up to where, why is there a complete count committee?
Sure.
This time,
so Alameda County has traditionally participated and held a complete count committee in the past, but they recognize the elevated fear, the concerns about the digital divide in the first online census, the proposed citizenship question, and a number of other factors where they need to take a bigger leadership role to encourage their residents to participate. The state of California has also established a statewide committee, invested $90 million thus far, and a proposed additional $50 million from Governor Newsom's budget, because the Census Bureau has reduced its resources that they are going to provide to local communities. So I know that the city of Berkeley got pallets worth of printed materials that they could share with their residents. And this time around, the Census Bureau intends to provide no printed materials for the public. So they may have good resources online, but we as a county need to get those resources down to the community. And we know that our residents have a lot of questions. They need additional resources to answer, to connect with them. So we also know the Board of Supervisors took action last year to formally oppose the citizenship question, because we have a very diverse community that would be significantly impacted from participating. So they've also put a small amount of funding available, and those will go down to community organizations, groups we call trusted messengers. They are our best conveyors of why this is important and how to do it, and We want them to be involved with us as messengers. So that means they will get information, actual content for social media and newsletters or talking points that then they can share down to their communities. We want to train them. We've done a lot of community engagement and with community nonprofit leaders and gotten great ideas about messaging that works and what doesn't, the trainings that they want, the materials they want, and kind of how to you know, make them resonant amongst our community. So we look forward to working with a huge group of census ambassadors in next spring.
So if somebody's listening to this and said, you know what, I want to get involved, is there anything they can do yet? Volunteer or something paid down the line? Is that, when can they be proactive if they want to do that?
Sure.
And where they go?
Sure. Alameda County's Complete Count Committee, we have a website. It's acgov.org/census2020. And on that, you can find all the resources, get a little more context and background, and sign up, send us ideas, get on our email list for future meetings and future opportunities. We will definitely be having trainings for the general public and volunteer opportunities in the fall. And you also bring up a good point about the jobs that will be available through the Census Bureau. Those are enumerators. There are some office staff, some IT jobs, et cetera. But the biggest chunk is enumerators, folks going door to door. And we anticipate needing, you know, up to 1,000 actually in Alameda County. So that's a lot. The jobs pay pretty well, about $25 an hour. They're part-time. And it's truly a public service opportunity. It's individuals who want their community to be counted, who want to fight for the resources we deserve. There is preference for people who live in hard-to-count census tracts. There is preference for those who speak the languages we need in order to count our total community. So those are available on the Census Bureau's website. I think it's USA Jobs going through the federal government, and they're rolling in the hiring, and you can even apply now.
Yeah, I know somebody was asking about that or saying they want to do it, and I was like, this particular person has been like in a walking cast for 2 years, and they're cutting away pieces of his body, and he's still going to go out there. That is America. That's patriotism, right?
Yeah.
One last thing we forgot to mention is that April 1st is Census Day. So if I were to go to like Party City, what kind of decorations do I get for Census Day?
Well,
It's Monday too. That's not a
Monday. It's coming up. Yes. April 1st of 2019 is truly the countdown to the big census day of April 1st, 2020. And that's when the census will be live. Lots of attention and advertising will be reminding you, you know, positively nudging you to participate, places where you can get your questions answered. And I'm counted stickers are going to be provided to the members of the public. And so I don't know exactly how we should decorate for Census
Day. I mean, it's a Monday.
Day.
Nobody's going to want to be drinking for that party. So that's what I'm worried about.
Well, we encourage folks to throw parties. We know that a lot of our early educators want to have a fun census day. There's a coloring book that the Census Bureau provided. We want to get those out to kids so that they can talk about civic engagement with their families, and lots of great ideas with our schools, with our cities to take some leadership, to pass resolutions in support, to incorporate census messaging in all the ways they're communicating with their residents.
I could dress up as Uncle Sam and walk around and be like Santa Claus. And
I wonder what the Uncle Sam of the 21st century looks like.
No, just be the regular one with the beard. I have a Santa suit, so I could just use that beard, and I just wear the the hat, red, white, and blue, and I'll just go sit on the park bench.
Yeah, I mean, Alameda County doesn't necessarily, if you look at a map of our county, you couldn't necessarily decipher what that shape looks like. But if people want to start a hashtag Berkeley Counts or a hashtag San Lorenzo Counts, we love that. Make it your own neighborhood. We're fighting for the resources we deserve by participating in this important opportunity. And the slogan we've been running with is "Our community counts. Our community belongs."
Right. Well, thank you so much. I have a slogan we could start. U.S. Census. It starts with one. Oh, there you go. Free. Right?
Well, I like my census joke, which is we're counting on you.
Oh.
Yeah. We do need your help to volunteer. We're counting on you.
again, it's good to be back talking to you guys and Steve Tavares' Angry Podcast. We'll be talking a lot in the next few months, so make sure you're listening to that podcast while you're on the treadmill. And if I could take a moment just to cheer you on, you got five more minutes. Come on. You got to do it. You got to fit in that bathing suit. You got to do it. Just five more minutes. Keep pounding. Come on. Come on, baby. Okay, that's for those on treadmill. For those of you on the weights, one, two, three. Come on, you could do it. Come on, five. Push through it. Push through it. Okay, next time. But in the meantime, go to ebcitizen.com. I'm angry, and you should be too.